From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Smith just shakes the reins at Songbird. Going for broke has made progress up into second inside a family tree, but they're six lengths behind Songbird at the 16th pole. It is Songbird, this magnificent filly, winning the Alabama. She is a perfect 10.
And coming home well is still Conquest Boogaloo, Charmin Ghost, chasing Danish Dynaformer. Danish Dynaformer, Charmin Ghost, and Charmin Ghost takes the Queen's Plate a length.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
A final 16th for Game On Dude. He's reaching for the wire. Ron the Grease coming up the fence. Clubhouse rides on the outside. But Game On Dude has won the Charlestown Classic.
And Beholder is opening up on them. Almost impossible to believe. She's turned this into an exercise gallop. Beholder is absolutely poetry in motion. Beholder and Gary Stevens didn't win it. They romped in the Pacific Classic.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to another extremely busy edition of the Equine Forum, the show that launched a network presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in the starting gate with you right up until 11 a.m. Eastern again this morning. And what a weekend coming up, right? Just the way it should be, with only 76 days remaining until the Breeders' Cup returns to Del Mar November 5th and 6th. And today, by the way, is Del Mar's day to shine. It is their signature day of racing for the summer season. Five graded stakes on tap, including two winning your in Breeders' Cup Challenge races. The Del Mar Handicap, a winning your in for the Breeders' Cup Turf, and of course the Pacific Classic, with the winner punching their ticket to the Breeders' Cup Classic. Saratoga will play host to two graded stakes later today, the Alabama and the Lake Placid. Neither of those a winning your in, but mark my words, you can expect to see a few runners from those races at Del Mar in about 2.5 months or so. Good racing, great racing across the country, coast to coast. And it's not just here in the United States this weekend. It is with our friends at Woodbine, too, north of the border, if you will. Today is Queen's Plate Day at Woodbine. Excuse me, tomorrow is Queen's Plate Day at Woodbine. That is Canada's version of the Kentucky Derby. It is the oldest continuously run race in North America. It dates all the way back to the inaugural running in 1860. Known as the Gallop for the Guineas, this year's edition marks the 162nd running. 13 horses were entered this past Wednesday, including four from the barn of trainer Kevin Attard. And among that quartet is the filly, Money for Row. Keep an eye on her. She's taking on the boys, and with a victory tomorrow, she will become the fourth filly to win both the Queen's Plate and the Woodbine Oaks. And that's the list that includes Holy Helena, Inglorious, I think, is another one of the fillies that won it. And Mark Cassie had Lexi Lou, I believe, who won the Woodbine Oaks and the Queen's Plate. I think those are the other three. Money for Row is second choice on the morning line behind Keep Grinding, trained by Tino Attard, who is Kevin's father. So you have Kevin Attard, who has four horses in the race. You have Tino Attard, his father, who has the second choice on the morning line. And, oh, by the way, you have his uncle Sid, who has Riptide Rock, a contender wearing the Stronach stable silks. So the Attards kind of have them surrounded. The only thing that would make this a little bit better is if the Mirages were all up there riding, and you had Rajiv and all of his brothers and all of his cousins, and he'd be the first to tell you that there are a whole bunch of Mirages. But there are not. It is just the Attards today. And that leads me to the poll question for today's show. Back in the day when Tiger Woods dominated golf, you would often get a prop bet at the casinos that would say, okay, who wins this tournament? You can bet Tiger Woods or you can bet the field. So I'm going to do the same thing with Kevin Attard. I should do it with all the Attards, but let's just do it with Kevin since he has four of the 13 horses entered. You can bet Kevin Attard or you can take the field in tomorrow's Queen's Plate at Woodbine. So who are you betting to win the Queen's Plate at Woodbine tomorrow? Kevin Attard or the field. So it means if you bet Kevin, you get all four of his horses. If you bet the field, you get everybody else. So you have nine horses going, but Kevin holding a pretty strong hand. Be interesting to see how the wagering or the votes come in for this. You can go to @HRRN on our Twitter feed to cast your vote. You can also do that on Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Or if you don't do any of that social media stuff, that's cool. You can email me, mike@horseracingradio.net, and let me know your thoughts on who are you betting to win the Queen's Plate at Woodbine tomorrow. Is it Kevin Attard or is it the field? Let me know. All right, so here's what's coming up over a very busy couple of hours. I will spend plenty of time talking about the Queen's Plate. We'll talk about the Pacific Classic. We'll talk about the Alabama. And we're going to look ahead to next weekend's Charlestown Classic. That's actually next Friday evening. We will be at Charlestown in West Virginia to bring you that exclusive radio coverage here on the network. That comes up beginning 9 o'clock Eastern next Saturday. Paul Espinoza is the voice of racing at Charlestown. He is going to be with me to kick off the show in just about 3 or 4 minutes after our first commercial break. Alan Sherman is going to be, well, not here in person. He was with me on Trainer Talk. He is starting his own operation after going through that magical run with California Chrome back in 2014 and 2015 and even into 2016. Alan is this week's Industry Star of the Week. You'll hear from him at 8:35 Eastern. 9 o'clock, I visit with Jeff Bratt, the longtime handicapper at Woodbine. Unsung Heroes, presented by Claiborne, this week features Danny Ramsey, longtime Ken McPeak exercise rider. It is one you won't want to miss, and that's at 9:20. In the Room with Sean Clancy at 10 o'clock, Kurt Becker's Stroll Through Racing History at 10:25, and Road to the Breeders' Cup with Craig Dato, who sat down with our Bobby Newman, coming up at 10:40. So a lot of things to get to. I will do it all next when I return. This is the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN.
Woodbine is gearing up for its biggest day of racing on Sunday, August 22nd, with the 162nd Queen's Plate, a day full of the best in Canadian thoroughbred racing, great fashion, amazing food, and loads of fun. And with Woodbine welcoming fans back with limited capacity, you will want to call today to reserve your seat. For more information on racing and handicapping, visit woodbine.com. That's woodbine.com.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how do you value a horse for insurance?
Well, Mike, it's easy to value a horse when purchased out of a public auction. The insured value would simply be the auction price. But insuring homebreds can be a little more involved.
How so?
Well, factors such as a stud fee, confirmation, pedigree, sales and race records of siblings, even popularity of the stallion all come into play.
How closely do you work with owners in determining a horse's value?
Well, the owner has a pretty good idea of the horse's value, so generally it's just a matter of agreeing to the request and having the policy issued.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Joe Brown Nicholson at NicholsonInsurance.com or call 859-224-7080. That's 859-224-7080. Nicholson Insurance Agency.
The spring summer meet is just heating up at Gulfstream Park, with racing now through September 26th, Friday through Sunday. Look forward to the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes Series starting July 31st. And stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. For 10 Palms reservations, stake schedules, or tips and analysis, visit GulfstreamPark.com. We are now fully open for public viewing.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care Products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
This year, the fans choose the finalists. Coming this August, for the first time ever, the fans pick the finalists in four 2021 America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards categories. Favorite racing TV personality, racetrack food, podcast, or radio show, and favorite smaller circuit racetrack. Get ready to be heard and to vote on AmericasBestRacing.net.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
It's Duke of Mischief, Joe Bravo, to take the lead on the outside. Back in second along the inside, Game On Dude. Another three lengths back to Tackleberry, trying to hold on. And then down the center of the track, a late move coming from Tisway. They head for home. It's Duke of Mischief. Joe Bravo's got the lead. And the $1 million purse goes to Duke of Mischief. Tight for a second between Game On Dude, and down along the rail with that one was Tisway. Also tight for fourth, Hold All Tickets. The unofficial winning time, 151 flat.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you on this Saturday morning. Duke of Mischief, a winner of the 2011 running of the Charlestown Classic, trained by David Fox. We'll see David, expected anyway, to be in this year's renewal next Friday. And Duke of Mischief also going to be in attendance at Charlestown Race Course in West Virginia for a very special honor. And to tell you more about that and what you can expect from next Friday night's Charlestown Classic, let's welcome in the voice of Charlestown, Paul Espinoza, to the Horse Racing Radio Network. Paul, good morning.
Mike, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Doing well, my friend. Looking forward to next Friday night and looking forward to seeing the return of Duke of Mischief.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. He's going to get to lead the post parade for the 13th running of the Charlestown Classic. It's crazy to think that all the names that were behind him, and you heard some of them there in the call that were behind him in that classic. You had obviously Game On Dude, one of the top dirt horses in the country at the time. Tisway, a future Grade One winner. You had Awesome Jim, future Grade One winner. You had Acclamation. He was going to be an Eclipse Award winner. I mean, it was an unbelievable field that he was able to defeat, and so it'll be kind of cool to have him back and showing the way. He's standing here locally now as a stallion, and so that part I guess is going to be interesting. Make sure good that he won't be leading the field for the Oaks, that's for sure. But yeah, it'll be nice to have him back here and have a look at the winner of one of the greatest renewals of the Charlestown Classic, Duke of Mischief.
Yeah, great point. It's great to see his trainer, David Fox, return to Charlestown. He is a massive fan of the Charlestown Classic, and whenever he gets the opportunity to be there with a horse, he loves to do it. Expected to send out Noble Drama next Friday, and again, just seeing, number one, seeing some fans back in attendance, seeing the trainers return, and seeing some of the big-name horses come back, it's a special night.
It is, and you obviously mentioned David Fox, and this horse is kind of Charlestown through and through, even though he's never run here before. He's by Gone Astray, who obviously he ran in a Charlestown Classic, and then obviously from the connections and the family of Big Drama, and Big Drama, one of the few Breeders' Cup race winners that we've actually had run here at Charlestown over the years. He won the Red Legend Stakes, which was a race that we no longer run here, but he was obviously one of the best horses ever to run at Charlestown. So David Fox has certainly had quite a bit of luck here locally, and so it'll be great to have him back. And again, just a really cool horse in Noble Drama that looking forward to him being a part of what should be a really fascinating field coming up here this Friday.
Yeah, I know the entries haven't been taken yet. We're a bit early with the interview here, but what can you tell me about some of the other top names that are pointing toward this year's Charlestown Classic?
So, fortunately, we've been able to, a lot of these names have come out in print in terms of the horses that we're kind of expecting. I would say that certainly excited about having last year's champion, Sleepy Eyes Todd. He's actually already back here on the grounds, and he was here early last year, and clearly that worked out for him. So that's certainly nice to have him back, and he's going to be trying to do something that only one horse has ever done before, and that's Researcher going back to back in the Charlestown Classic. We've had obviously Imperative has won two runnings as well, but he didn't go back to back. So Sleepy Eyes Todd looking to crack that code, if you will. Looking from actually a couple horses from the West Coast that we're looking forward to. Ginobili, he's been in really good form. Obviously had a really nice race last time out at Del Mar. He's going to be looking for obviously the biggest win of his career to this point, but he's a very talented horse that has been confirmed to be pointing to our race. Also Restrained Vengeance. He's a pretty cool hard knocking horse. A 6-year-old who's been able to do it on turf and dirt. And so obviously his most recent graded stakes win was in the American on turf there at Santa Anita. But one thing to keep in mind about horses coming here that as long as they can handle the dirt, I think it's an advantage to a horse like Restrained Vengeance to be able to handle the tight turns that we have, because obviously a lot of turf courses end up having those tighter turns. So clearly a nice athletic sort that should be able to handle that. Warrior's Charge, he's a horse that I thought is just tailor-made for the track here. Obviously he has a good bit of early speed. He'll need to break better than he has in his last couple starts, but he too pointing to our race. Informative, he was an upset winner of I believe the Salvatore Mile here recently up at Monmouth Park for connections that actually sent out grade one winner Discreet Lover here a few years back. So Informative is a horse that is certainly going to be hoping that the pace is quick early on. Independent Tall will be the interesting horse to see. He entered in the Pacific Classic. We'll obviously know, I guess later today whether or not he ends up running in that race or not. But we were told and in print, Michael McCarthy has said that he's actually pointing to our race. So he's a name to keep an eye on today when you look at that race. And then in terms of other, there are two possibles right now. That would be Art Collector for Bill Mott and New York Traffic for Saffy Joseph Jr. And again, so both of those horses would obviously make nice additions to the field as well. So those are some of the names that we're looking forward to. And obviously it would be interesting to see kind of how things shake out as we're set to take entries for the Classic and the Oaks this coming Tuesday.
Really strong field. Talking with the voice of Charlestown Racecourse, that's Paul Espinoza. Paul has been in that position for several years now, and he's a native of West Virginia. It's a very special thing for him. Paul, I want to talk to you about your background in just a moment, but first, you keep mentioning, and you've done it a couple of times now, the Charlestown Oaks, and let's not overlook that race. It is now moved to this same program as it was last year, and it was a banner night for horse players. It was a banner night for the racetrack because the wagering numbers were up. It turned out to be a brilliant decision, and the Charlestown Oaks, a grade three, will be run as the 11th race on the card next Friday night. The Charlestown Classic race 12, so they're back-to-back. What can you tell me about some of the horses we can see in the Charlestown Oaks? Do we know?
The Oaks is definitely a lot trickier right now to kind of flesh out. Yeah. I'd say that the one definite, if you will, would be Street Loot for trainer Jerry Robb. She's a filly that, again, locally based. Jerry Robb has run many, obviously, many horses here over the years at Charlestown. He's a Maryland-based trainer. She's a filly that tried the turf last time out at Colonial. Didn't go all that well, and I was actually down there that day, and they confirmed that we'd be seeing her back on dirt here. She's a really cool filly, 8 for 12 lifetime, and earned almost $500,000. So she would be sort of the local favorite this year. No locally based, in terms of Charlestown-based runners in any of these races that we can look forward to this year, unfortunately. But Street Loot will certainly have probably the loudest cheering section of anybody. And then it's really tough after that. I would say that in terms of the only other definites I would expect to see, it would actually just come from a trainer. I would think that John Service, obviously of Smarty Jones fame, winner of the Derby and the Preakness. John is a Charlestown boy. He's born and raised here, and he's always been a big supporter of our program on these big nights. And so he had a couple fillies that have been nominated and have run really well here. Midnight Obsession certainly is one of those. She ran in Monmouth Oaks behind her stablemate, Leader of the Band. And so I would expect that, again, certainly John Service would have some representation in the race, a matter of who it would be, kind of to be determined. But that race, at least this far out, still a little bit tricky to figure out who exactly is confirmed. But I would say that one thing will be consistent among both races is that I think that both are going to be fantastic betting races where I don't think that we're going to have any real standouts. And so I think that'll make for, again, another great night of wagering action here at Charlestown.
Well, Paul, last year we were expected to be on site, but because of the pandemic, we ended up broadcasting the Charlestown Classic and the Oaks remotely from our studio in Lexington, Kentucky. This year, we will be back on site, as will TVG, and it is going to be a banner night next Friday. our coverage 9 to 10:30. The post time for the Charlestown Classic set for approximately 10:18 right now, but we kick off at 9 o'clock and really excited to bring folks that radio coverage once again live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. There will be a mandatory pick six payout next Friday night as well as part of that program, which actually adds to the intrigue. First post, 5 p.m. Eastern, and again, that $800,000 Charlestown Classic set for 10:18. Paul, when you got this job several years ago, you and I talked, and we're open about saying, hey, this is a dream job for me. I'm a native of West Virginia. To be able to call the richest race in that state's history is really a big deal, and you have knocked it out of the park each and every year since.
Well, I very much appreciate that. Yeah, definitely, you get the nerves going, especially on last year was an entirely different level of having both of them on the same night. And, because we don't have a big number of graded stakes by any means. Clearly, these are only two right now on the calendar. You definitely want to try to make sure that you do your best and put your best foot forward whenever you do get your chance to call. And so, the nerves certainly that night are at a different level than they are any other night of the year. But it has been great, and definitely a real honor. Going back, like I said, this will be I'm in my fifth year now, and again, credit and thanks to my boss Eric, who I'm sure again he'll be a little bummed that you guys actually are on site this year. I know, kidding, but
the crap stealers will not. They'll be happy to see me.
Yes, exactly. For the bottom line, you'll be we're very happy to have you back. But yes, I do know that he took a chance on me. After winning that contest out of Del Mar, America's Next Grace Caller, he took a chance on a guy that had called many races before, and again, I definitely forever grateful and just really happy to be here at my home track. Again, grew up 15 minutes away from where I call races every night. It's just a really cool opportunity. And again, just so pleased to be a part of just a small part of this team that has really taken Charlestown racing to a level that I don't think anybody could have foreseen a decade and a half ago. That's for sure.
Do you have a favorite Charlestown Classic, maybe one that you've called or even one that was run before you got there in that position?
So, yeah, this actually is kind of a slam dunk for me. It would be running DeLuvia, winning the race in 2019, the West Virginia bred. It was the feeling that I got after that race and being able to hear the crowd through the glass of, just erupting when the hometown horse crossed the wire. I will never forget that day and that feeling. And it almost brought me to tears legitimately after I turned the mic off, because it was just like, what did I just witness? What was I just a party to? Because again, to have a West Virginia bred by a $1,000 sire, win the richest race in West Virginia, it was just unspeakable. And so that day and just everything that has come from that, that will be something I'll never forget. I was here on track when Game On Dude won his classic back in 2013, and Joe Torre was there, and he was, signing autographs in the paddock. And so that obviously is up there, and I would say 1A. But for me, just knowing the connections of Running to Love You and what it meant to the track in general, and to all the people that support our product year in, year out, it will always be number one for me.
Yeah, right up there in my book too. Paul, listen, really appreciate the visit this morning. Can't wait to be on site and see you and the entire team next Friday. Thanks for being with me this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Mike.
All right. Again, the Charlestown Classic, our coverage 9 o'clock next Friday evening. Make sure you're tuned in here on the network, and you can go to horseracingradio.net to see more information on that broadcast. When I come back, I'm going to welcome Alan Sherman as this week's Industry Star of the Week. He joined me on Trainer Talk this past Wednesday. You're going to hear from him next. The trainer of California Chrome, along with his dad Art, is now out on his own. But first, it is time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by Lexus of Lexington.
Nine horses answered the call to post in early May of 1957 for the running of the singular most famous race in America, the Kentucky Derby. The drama had unfolded in part in the early morning hours on that Saturday on Churchill's backstretch at 7 in the morning, when Calumet Farms' General Duke stood blanketed in the aisle of Barn 15, while veterinarian Alex Harthill and trainer Jimmy Jones lifted his left foreleg to examine an area which had been the subject of speculation and concern since he'd come back from a second-place finish to Federal Hill in the Derby trial the previous Tuesday a little bit sore. The final call was up to Jones, and even though it was only a bruise, it was pretty sore. General Duke had blown out a quarter in 24 that morning and had shown nothing untoward in his movement in that outing, but he limped ever so slightly while being cooled out. By 10 in the morning, the decision was made and General Duke would not go postward this day in the run for the Roses. In the field were Bold Ruler, Indian Creek, Gallant Man, Federal Hill, Betterby, Shanpack, Round Table, Iron Liege, and Mr. Jive. It was a chilly day in the River City of Louisville, the temperature hovering in the 40s, and that gave cause to the holding down of both the crowd and the mutual handle. Bold Ruler was a 6-5 post-time favorite, with both Gallant Man and Round Table highly regarded as challengers. With General Duke out of the race, the other half of the Calumet entry, Iron Liege, was far less regarded and was 8-1 at post-time. Starter Jim Thompson got the field away to an excellent start. Federal Hill, trying to give Louisville its first hometown win since Old Rosebud in 1914, quickly stepped to the front as expected. Down the long straight and on beneath the hallowed twin spires past the stands for the first time, it was Federal Hill, Bold Ruler, Iron Liege, and Round Table in that order. On around the turn, they maintained the same positions with the first half going in 47 flat. Down the backside, both the front-running Federal Hill and Bold Ruler drifted out a little bit. That left just enough room down along the fence to let the wily Bill Hartack send Iron Liege along to within a hop length of the lead. The first six panels had been covered in 111-2. As they approached the far turn, Federal Hill slanted back in toward the rail, and Hartack, fearing he would be shut off, took up a little bit and decided to go on around the front runner. It was Federal Hill by three parts of a length, Iron Liege and Bold Ruler, as they hit the top of the stretch. Hartack had utilized another ploy of a crafty reinsman by using both Federal Hill and Bold Ruler as a windbreak for part of the run down the backstretch, and there was a stiff breeze blowing down the backside, and in so doing, he had saved as much of his horse as he possibly could. Midway through the far turn, Hartack turned his mount up a notch and had brought him up abreast of Federal Hill as the two matched strides on down to the 3/16 pole. Iron Liege gained bit by bit and had a half-a-length lead at the eighth pole, but Bill Shoemaker had Gallant Man going full throttle, and he was eating up ground with every stride on the outside. He was now only a half-length behind Federal Hill and a length behind the leader, Iron Liege. He had been seventh after a half, some 13 lengths out of it. He had close to fifth, just 5 off the leader, Federal Hill, at the quarter pole, and was picking him up and laying him down, passing his horses. Just inside the eighth pole, he passed Federal Hill and took dead aim at Iron Liege, with Round Table now third. At the 16th pole, Gallant Man had shoved his nose in front of Iron Liege and appeared to be an absolutely certain winner. Wait just 1 minute. Shoemaker stood up in the irons, mistaking the finish line. That momentary lapse cost him the victory by a long nose as he recovered to get back in full stride too late. Iron Liege, the Calumet second stringer, with Hartack notching the first of his eventual 6 Derby scores and Calumet racking up its 6th Derby winner, had upset the dope. It was memorable for a couple of reasons. First of all, the absence of General Duke, and, more importantly, the miscalculation of Shoemaker, who stood up a 16th too soon. In May 1957, in the Kentucky Derby, a most memorable moment in thoroughbred racing, and in its own way, a great moment in racing.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and innovative technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience driving any Lexus model is unparalleled. Visit Lexus of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for over 15 years. Experience the enjoyment of Lexus and the enjoyment of shopping Lexus of Lexington. The people there truly make the difference. Long-tenured, friendly, knowledgeable team members, no pressure, no hassle. I promise, it's not your typical dealership experience. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, and Lexus of Lexington continues to sponsor Keeneland's Raven Run Stakes each fall. So from one horse person to another, the next best thing to being around horses is driving a Lexus. Visit Lexus of Lexington and tell them Mike sent you.
This year, the fans choose the finalists. Coming this August, for the first time ever, the fans pick the finalists in four 2021 America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards categories. Favorite racing TV personality, racetrack food, podcast or radio show, and favorite smaller circuit racetrack. Get ready to be heard and to vote on americasbestracing.net.
Consistent success tested over time. There is no better example than Millridge Farm. Founded in 1962 by Alice Chandler, this year's inductee into the Hall of Fame as Pillar of the Turf. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 36 Grade 1 winners, including 8 Breeders' Cup winners and 2 Horses of the Year. Millridge offers its largest and highest quality consignment ever at this year's Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale, with 9 yearlings by leading stallions and promising first-year sires. And we'll be showing at Barn 5 on Friday, August 6th. Millridge, standing the test of time.
The spring summer meet is just heating up at Gulfstream Park, with racing now through September 26th, Friday through Sunday. Look forward to the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes Series starting July 31st. And stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. For 10 Palms reservations, stake schedules, or tips and analysis, visit GulfstreamPark.com. We are now fully open for public viewing.
Mark your calendars for the biggest night of racing in Charlestown history. It's the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks on Friday, August 27th. This spectacular card features 9 stakes races and over $2 million in purses, plus $100,000 guarantees in the late Pick 4 and Pick 5, and a mandatory payout in the Jackpot Pick 6. Post time is scheduled for 5 o'clock Eastern. It's the Charlestown Classic in Charlestown Oaks on Friday, August 27th, here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
And California Chrome makes his move for the lead. It is California Chrome on the outside. Samrat runs at him with the eight pole. California Chrome is pulling away. California Chrome into the final furlong. He's got a 5-length lead on his competition. It is California Chrome in front. And from the back of the pack on the outside, Commanding Curve is taken second. But California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby. Commanding Curve was second. And then King Ganza in third. The final time, 2 minutes 3.66 seconds.
Shines bright in the Kentucky Derby. Did he ever? Great call by Larry Colmus, the voice of racing on NBC. And, of course, the Breeders' Cup and California Chrome, so special. 7 years ago in that run for the roses, you're going to hear more about California Chrome as I visit with his trainer, Alan Sherman. He and his dad, Art, went on the ride of a lifetime back in 2014, and Alan will tell you more about that, and he'll talk about several other things. He joined me for a full hour on our trainer talk show presented by Fasig Tipton this past week. I wanted to honor Alan as our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris on this Saturday morning. So that interview coming your way shortly. But first things first, before we get to Alan, it is time to get you ready to bet the races with today's first bet.
And now, today's first bet.
Today's first bet comes in race 5 at Saratoga. It's an allowance optional claiming event, mile and a 16th on the turf course. 3:23 Eastern is the post. Number 5, Maddie's Express, is 5-1 on the morning line, has a 25% win projection from first bet, rates 7 points higher than the next closest rival. As a matter of fact, only one rival is even within 14 points. Owns the top ranking for the best speed track factor, gets a much better draw after 2 wide starts in his last 2 efforts. A winner at the meet on July 17th makes a natural class rise, and Jose Lascano is back aboard after a 10-1 upset last time out. Number 5, Maddie's Express, in race 5 at Saratoga, is today's first bet. And I'm back in 60 seconds with your industry star of the week. That's right after this word from First Bet.
Hey,
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number1st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Well, moments ago, you heard that call of California Chrome winning the Kentucky Derby in 2014, and I told you it was the ride of a lifetime for Alan Sherman, his dad, Art. Alan's brother was involved, too. It was a special, special time. And Alan took time to join me on Trainer Talk this past week, and he is this week's Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. Stuart wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. He knows his success is absolutely because of you, and he has had stars like Malagasy and Henley's Joy over the years. Stop by and see Stuart at all of the major sales, and check out his consignment. Find your next superstar at the Stuart Morris Consignments. Well, here it is. I started by asking Alan if he ever, now that he's training on his own, thought that he could find another California Chrome.
Oh, I don't know. That's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime horse, but I sure would. I'm going to keep trying, that's for sure.
When you get a horse like that and you have that kind of success and you go on that kind of a ride, does it make you want to get there, you know, all the more? I mean, you've experienced it. You've tasted it. Do you want to get there even more?
Oh, absolutely. You know, once you get a taste of running in those kind of races and being around that type of horse, you just want to keep going. You know, I can imagine how a lot of these trainers, you know, they get to go to the big races every year. That's got to be such a thrill for them. I mean, for me to do it once was just amazing. And, you know, you get that taste for it and the experience and things you might do different, things you do the same. But, yeah, I'd love to do that again.
I remember when you were going through that run and we had many conversations, one of the things that came up quite often and quite often in interviews on the show was your puppy at the time, Jasper. He's now a full-grown dog, and I could hear him in the background. You sent him to obedience lessons while you were going through that Triple Crown back in 2014. Doesn't really sound like they worked, man. You might want to get your money back.
Well, we've got some thunder and lightning rolling through right now, so he got him fired up. But, yeah, he is a bit hard-headed, but he's a good boy.
When you hear the name California Chrome now, seven years later, what things immediately pop into your head?
Oh, the first thing is the Kentucky Derby. I mean, I just remember that like it was yesterday. It was so much fun, and just we made the most out of it, too. You know, we enjoyed ourselves very much and tried to have as much fun as possible, even with all the pressure and everything. But not just to win the race, but just to have a horse good enough to run in it was a thrill. But then to win it was just amazing. It was, hair still stands up on my arms when I think about it.
Yeah, and it's so difficult to win that race. Last week on this program, I had a chance to visit with Scott Blasey, the assistant to Hall of Famer Steve Asmussen, who is now the all-time leader in wins in thoroughbred racing in North America, surpassing Dale Baird. And here's Steve Asmussen that's won all those races, Breeders' Cup races, classic races, and he can't break through in the Kentucky Derby. And here's Alan and Art Sherman and the team of California Chrome with a horse like this who has no pedigree to speak of, and he goes on not only to win the Derby, but he goes on to be right now the number 4 all-time career earner in thoroughbred racing. Just remarkable the way this game works.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we got lucky for sure. I mean, you always got to have luck in this game, but you also have to have the right horse. I think the majority of the time you need a horse that's got a good turn of foot, you know, to keep your, to keep himself out of trouble. That's very important. And, you know, the, you look back and you see all the people that have tried to win it. I mean, Sheikh Mohammed and all these huge owners, you know, trying to buy horses just to run in the Kentucky Derby and hope to win it. And for us to run in it once and win it is, you don't see that very often, that's for sure.
You know, and I keep talking about that pedigree because that was the storyline going into the Kentucky Derby that year. It wasn't the flashiest pedigree in the world, and a lot of people doubted that he'd ever be able to get the mile and a quarter distance, and he proved everybody wrong. When you start looking now, Alan, now that you've started your own operation and you start looking at young horses, do you find yourself maybe getting away from pedigree a little bit and looking for the athlete and the confirmation that a horse possesses, considering the fact that you had so much success with a horse like California Chrome that didn't have a strong pedigree?
Oh, absolutely. You know, especially with the type of horses I can afford to buy, I have to give up something, whether it's pedigree or confirmation. And 10 out of 10 times I'm giving up pedigree for confirmation and looking for the athlete. You know, it would be nice to be able to go to the sales with the millions of dollars and say, I want this one, and this one that are all perfect, but that's just simply not the case. But, you know, we, like I said, we're more after the athlete than the pedigree.
What does a horse that's a good athlete as a yearling, as a two-year-old in training, let's say, what does a horse like that possess physically that lets you know that they are a good athlete?
Well, I like to look at a good strong hind leg, a good gaskin, nice hip, good shoulder. Those are the three main things I look at. You know, you look, and then you go down to their front legs, and you don't want a horse that's terribly offset in the knees and stuff. But if he, you know, toes out a little bit or toes in or a little bit offset in the knees, and, you know, I look at the x-rays. If I feel like it's something I can deal with, then that's great. I'll take a shot on that one.
You have moved to Lexington, Kentucky from California now. You did that a couple of years ago. You're getting settled in here. I mentioned the fact that you've now started Alan Sherman Racing Stables. It's something you've wanted to do for a long time, to go out and train on your own. But in the meantime, you've also spent time with your friends over at TaylorMade Farm, and you've worked the sales for them. So you've seen the other side of it, and you've looked at an awful lot of yearlings and weanlings over the years. How has that improved your eye for a horse?
Oh, it's helped me immensely. You know, I feel like I've always had a decent eye for a horse, but after working for them for the past 2 years, you really start to learn from them. And, you know, Frank Taylor, who's a good friend of mine, he's helped me out, and Duncan and Mark. And, you know, they're all very nice people that anytime I have a question, they're right there to answer it or, you know, help me in any way I need. But, you know, you look at those thousands of horses you looked at, and, you know, it's, you got no choice but just to get better at it, you know, and then you go on to kind of keep track of some of them, and some of them turn out to be great horses, and you're like, oh, I love that horse as a yearling. I wish I could have bought him. But, you know, I've learned so much the past couple of years working for them.
Alan, I'm curious, knowing what you now know and with that improved eye for picking out young horses, which is going to help you with your new racing stable, by the way, if you were to go to a sale and California Chrome was a yearling in that sale and you were inspecting him, do you think you would have given him a high grade and maybe purchased him from that sale?
California Chrome had a great hip and a great shoulder, but if you look at him, he's pretty offset in his knees. I wouldn't have given him a high grade, but I wouldn't have dismissed him at all.
Huh, that's interesting. So maybe you wouldn't even have ended up with California Chrome if it was left up to you.
I don't know. It depends how much he costs.
What do you hope to accomplish with the new racing stable? Obviously win lots of races, but where do you see it going?
Well, we're starting to pick up. You know, I've got new client named Matt Montgomery that I'm training a couple horses for, who's got a farm here in Lexington. And I trained for George Krikorian, who we've trained for many years, and he sent me a few. So, it's starting to pick up, and, trying to get some better quality horses. That's always the goal. But, right now we're just kind of we're taking what we can and building up. And the horses I've gotten training are doing well. I'm happy with them. And we're up there at Turfway Park because the barn we were in at the Thoroughbred Center, they tore it down and they're rebuilding some barns there. So it'll be nice to get back into some new barns when we get there. We were going to go to Churchill, but obviously they closed down because of the group. They're rebuilding the turf course. And we were in Lexington at Keeneland, and we had to get out of there because they're getting ready for their September sale. So we didn't have much choice but to go up to Turfway.
Turfway has a synthetic racing surface. What's it like training over that surface?
The synthetic tracks are great in the wintertime. Personally, I'd rather not be on them in the summertime, but that being said, this one has been really good. It seems, it's a newer surface. It's not broke down yet, so it's still got plenty of bounce, and horses seem to handle it well. So far I'm happy with it.
Do you have to adjust your approach when you're training the horses over synthetic as opposed to training them over a conventional dirt surface?
Yeah, there's a few things that I like to do different. I like to pull their hind shoes because a horse's foot is made to slide a little bit when it hits the ground. But on those synthetic surface, they seem not to slide and kind of they could get jarred up behind if you train them with shoes on. So I tend to take the hind shoes off of all of mine, but I will put them back on like race day and run them with hind shoes no matter, wherever they're running, Indiana or Belterra or wherever they're going to run, I'll put hind shoes on and back on them.
Talking with Alan Sherman, who is now out on his own. Alan Sherman Racing is the name of his racing stable. How many horses do you have right now, Alan?
I've got about a half a dozen right now, and I've got a couple more in Del Mar that are going to be heading this way when that meet is done. So hopefully, we'll get it up 10, 12 here pretty soon.
You got a pretty good filly coming from Del Mar, don't you?
I do. I got a filly I own a piece of named Acting Out. Last time she ran, she broke through the gate and banged her head on the gate and kind of scratched her head all up and banged her head. They probably should have scratched her, but they didn't. They let her run, and she showed speed and stopped. And it was unfortunate that happened. She did that. The horse on the inside of her broke through the gate, and she thought it was time to go. So she, broke through the gate herself and ended up banging her head a little bit and had some scratches and little blood. She had a fat lip, but, I wish they would have scratched her, but they didn't. So, it is what it is, but she's going to get a little freshening up. And then, when she gets here, I'm going to turn her out for a few weeks, let her be a horse, and then, get her back going again.
Alan, we talked about what you are doing now with your new, Alan Sherman Racing Stable here in Kentucky. Tell me about what your dad, Art, is up to.
Oh, he's still going strong. He's got, he's got 10 head down there at Del Mar. He keeps threatening to retire, but we'll see. He says this is his last year. But my mom's kind of bending his ear a little bit, hoping he retires this year. But, he's been doing it his whole life, basically from the time he was 16 till now, and he's 83. So he doesn't have any hobbies. He doesn't fish, he doesn't golf. His hobby is basically going to the track in the morning and BSing with all his friends and people out at the track. That's what he loves to do. It would be nice if he does retire, it'd be nice if he could just kind of stay in it at some capacity, maybe be a stable agent or whatever, if he's long, he just wants to be there. He doesn't want to sit at home and do nothing. I think that would probably, that would be worse on his health than getting up every morning and working. He's in great health now, thank God. And I just, you know, there comes a time in everybody's life that you kind of think about retiring. But I think he would train then forever if he could, or he can. Who knows? He might not retire this year. We'll see. It's yet to be seen.
Glad to see Art Sherman still doing his thing and doing well out on the West Coast. Your brother Steve is having one heck of a year too.
Oh, he's on fire right now. He's doing very well. I think he's leading trainer at Golden Gate right now. He won a nice stake at Del Mar this summer. Yeah, he's having a good go of it right now.
If you were to take a graphic, and we can't do that here on radio, obviously, because we don't have pictures, but if we put up a graphic, and we'll ask people to visualize this, and it had your picture, your dad's picture, and your brother Steve's picture side by side, and it listed a couple of bullet points about each of your philosophies on training racehorses, what do you think each one of those graphics would say? Starting with yours.
Well, it's funny. We all have similar training regimens we do with the horses. You know, we train very similar. My brother, I would say, he is the most aggressive as far as placing his horses. He's a really good handicapper, and he runs his horses where they can win. He hates to lose. None of us like losing, but he tends to take it to heart a little bit more than me and my dad do.
Okay.
My dad is old school. You know, he learned under Rex Ellsworth, and his mentor was Paul Godotti, who was an old-time trainer in Northern California. He rode for him and worked for him before he went out on his own. And he's old school, you know. Doesn't want to do a lot of vet work. Doesn't like the fact that he's got to ask the vet if it's okay to work his horses. You know, he's old school, and he does it the old school way. He takes very good care of his horses. They all, you know, all three of us feed our horses very well. They're all taken care of very well. That's the number one priority for, you know, all three of us is the horse comes first. You know, we might miss a meal, but those horses are going to eat very well.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like I'm in between the two of them. I like to be aggressive when I enter. I think if I have a horse in a race that's over 10 or 12 to 1, I feel like I probably entered in the wrong spot. You know, I take the old school approach to some training, certain horses. And other horses, I don't train them near as hard as some of the old school guys do. You know, if you got lighter horses or, you know, you got to train them as individuals. A heavier horse might need a little more training than a little like filly. You know, you just got to just play it by ear as the horse goes. But, you know, growing up watching a lot of these guys train, the old school guys, they, their horses were in a regiment. Every horse did the same thing, you know, it had the same schedule and, which worked great for them back then. But, you know, I think horses were stronger back then than they are now. As far as their bone goes, I think they had better bone back then. They tended to last a little bit longer and race more, without having the issues we have now as far as keeping the horses sound. So I kind of just try and, play it by ear and let the horse tell me what they want to do.
Well, that philosophy of letting the horse tell him what to do has certainly served him well over the years, and Alan's hoping it will serve him well now that he is out training on his own through Alan Sherman Racing. Great stuff from Alan. I appreciate the visit. When I come back, I'll get you set for hour number two. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Gainsway Stallion Caraconti is off to a strong start at stud. A leading sire amongst his crop by percentage of stakes horses, top runners by Caraconti include graded stakes winners Kenzai Warrior.
But Kenzai Warrior is sticking his head down and getting up. Kenzai Warrior wins the Horace Hill.
Sole Volante.
On the outside, Sole Volante runs by the leader. It's Sole Volante in front and going away.
Two-year-old stakes winner Spanish Love Affair.
16th to go. Spanish Love Affair almost home. Spanish Love Affair lives up to the hype and wins it 1-2.
And dual surface dynamo, Princess Grace.
16th to go. Princess Grace still in front. Pasta Plate is trying hard, but she's second to Princess Grace, streaking under the wire, the three-length winner.
A rising star with greatest stakes winners on both dirt and turf, Caraconti, standing at Gainsway.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help me get back to doing the things I love, like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit getvaccineanswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, is the Briznet.com call-in show. It's your chance to call in and let the Horse Racing Radio Nation know what's on your mind. Call us at 888-966-HRRN and discuss the topics you choose in the world of thoroughbred racing. The Briznet.com call-in show, every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius 219 and XM 201, or streaming live online at horseracingradio.net.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Emma Lane's in front. Lorena under deep pressure. Money for Roe the outside looming. Turning in the oaks, and Money for Roe races up to Emma Lane. Money for Roe in front. Money for Roe from Emma Lane. Back in third is Il Malocchio, and it's Money for Roe and Emma Lane going on. Il Malocchio down the outside, but it is Money for Roe. Money for Roe and Justin Stein have the Woodbine Oaks. Money for Roe by a length. Close for second between Il Malocchio and Emma Lane. A gap away, Ewens was fourth, and then Curlin's Catch. 150-31.
Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, back with you on this Saturday morning, winding down hour number one. Hour number two comes your way momentarily, and I'll tell you more about that in a second. That was Robert Geller with the call of what was a tremendous performance by Money for Roe in the Woodbine Oaks. She looks to become the fourth filly in the history of Canadian racing to win both the Woodbine Oaks and the Queen's Plate. That will be tomorrow, and I will welcome Jeff Bratt, the longtime Woodbine handicapper, to the program here in just a few minutes at 9 o'clock Eastern to tell you all about this year's renewal of the Queen's Plate. Looking forward to that visit coming up shortly. But want to remind you, too, that if you haven't already done so and you live in Central Kentucky or you're visiting Central Kentucky and you're into hunting or fishing in the outdoors, you need to go see the Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore in Nicholasville, Kentucky, just a few minutes south of the Fayette Mall on Nicholasville Road. As a matter of fact, only 3 miles south of the Fayette Mall on Nicholasville Road. The store is owned by former horse trainer Tevis McCauley, so he can talk about horses. He can also talk to you about hunting deer and turkey and ducks and so much more. They even have two indoor archery ranges. So stop in and see them today. It is the Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore, and I can say that name, so I'm going to do it again. The Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore in Nicholasville, Kentucky, and you tell them that the Baron sent you in and told you to say hello. All right, coming up in hour number two, I told you Jeff Bratt will kick it off for us here at 9 o'clock Eastern. Unsung Heroes, a very special edition at 9:20. At 10 o'clock, you've got In the Room with Sean Clancy, his one-on-one visit each and every week with a rider. And then Kurt Becker's Stroll Through Racing History at 10:25, and we'll go down the road to the Breeders' Cup with Craig Dato from Del Mar. Huge, huge day for them with the Pacific Classic on tap. Bobby Newman talked with Craig. That interview comes up at 10:40 Eastern Time. So plenty of things still to get to. We'll do that next right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.